Hello, everybody. What's going on? Welcome to the Fresh and Fit Podcast, Ohio.
Why was the beginning that sounded like you're in a job interview?
What's up? Hey, bro, because I'm practicing. I might need a job.
You know? Oh, okay.
So it is what it is, all right? I'm sick of it, okay? I'm sick of it. This world is rough out here, bro. You know?
Yeah, it is rough.
It's rough, you know? And I think, you know, when I was in New York, everybody had like two or three jobs. It's just a way of life. Like, it was just everybody had two or three jobs.
Just to survive.
And I thought that was kind of stressful, but it also, I had a level of respect for those people that because they did that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Unlike you.
What? Well, you don't respect me?
I do respect you.
You don't respect my work ethic?
Yeah.
What?
That's about the only thing I respect to you.
About my work ethic and, yeah.
Yeah.
What about my creativity?
Okay, you're making me now realize I respect my creativity. It's a good time to introduce our very special guest. Chris is in the building. What's appreciate you, bro. Chris Daxon.
How you guys doing?
So I met Chris, I think I met you, gosh, I don't know, almost a year ago.
Okay.
Through a local run group, Run with the Winners. I didn't fully know your story before I met you, or obviously, but even when I met you, but as of late, and I've seen some of the things that you've accomplished and racked up on your list of, you know, athletic accomplishments, but where you came from is bananas. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. So you just had an accomplishment this weekend, matter of fact.
I did, yeah. Another milestone. I did my first triathlon, sprint triathlon, so. Yeah, that was exciting. So I got to try new things, you know, push, like you said, running marathons didn't take up enough of my schedule, so I figured let's add running and to biking and swimming also, so.
The swimming, yeah.
No, I'm just saying, just talk a little bit more to the mic. Yes,
So when I first heard you were doing it, I had considered doing one before. Not really. Swimming, though.
Canoeing. The one you want
kayaking.
Kayaking.
Canoeing sounds like more leisurely.
Okay, kayaking, canoeing.
It's not the same thing.
Well, I'm black,
so it's
the same.
Racist. The swimming, though, that seems daunting to me.
Yeah, I mean, for swimming, like, we know how to run. Anybody can go out there and run.
Sure.
I mean, we run before we walk, a lot of us, and biking, something we learn when we're very young. Swimming, whether you have swim lessons or not, usually don't learn the right way to swim and the way to competitively swim. So I thought, yeah, I can get in the water and go. And I did like 25 yards in the pool, which is like one length, and I thought I was going to die. Like, I was completely out of breath, completely winded, and for being a marathon runner, that was something that, okay, this is not right. How am I going to do this for an hour, for however long it's going to take to do to complete a triathlon? So I learned very quick, yeah, I'm going to need some swim lessons.
So how long did you have, was it 1,500 meters?
This one was 750 for the sprint.
750, you did the sprint.
I just did the sprint,
okay.
Yeah.
Don't say you just did the sprint.
I just did the sprint because I have an Olympic next month.
Don't just say you just did the sprint.
Oh, so you're doing another one.
I'm doing another one next month. So this was to get the experience to find out, you know, almost know what to do from doing things wrong. And I definitely did some things wrong. And learned a lot from this experience on a shorter distance to get ready for the longer.
But even the sprint is impressive, bro. So don't even say it isn't a sprint.
Like, in my mind, it would be an eternity.
It's completely different. I mean, to think to swim and then ride. But when you stack them, I mean, by the time I got to that run, like mentally, like that exhaustion level is so high, and you're like, you know, it's like, okay, like. Normally, I can go and run, you know, a 5K, which is a running distance, no big deal.
Sure.
That's much shorter than any distance I normally run. But it was after doing all that, you're like, okay, this is gonna take.
So what did you like? You know, what I'm saying, I know, like when I'm training, I tap into like people call it the dark place. You go into the dark place. You go into, or you think happy thoughts. Like, how do you overcome that exhaustion? How did you like overcome that?
It's something you have to practice almost, and it's almost a determination.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, that'll, you know, when that hits, it's easier just to quit.
Yeah.
So it's something you just push through and something, literally you train through. So I get a lot from long runs and everything like that, or just determination to finish and knowing that I have, my wonderful wife at the finish line and all my friends out there supporting me and everything, that if I did quit, then there'd be a lot of disappointed people. So
did you always have this determined spirit, this determination attitude? Did you always have it and you just was able to channel it, or did it like come from somewhere or some experience?
They say training for a marathon will change your life, and I truly believe that, because when I decided to take on the marathon and that determination and just that, to continue to push for that, I mean, I learned so much about myself and what I'm capable of that honestly I didn't know before, that I didn't have a whole lot of confidence in myself before that. So go out there and do that training and to complete that goal. And then not only that, but not only do it, but then improve my time after and do what it took when everybody... I literally tell people my goal of, I'd like to run a marathon under 3 hours, and I had people laugh
which is,
at me.
Which is, for those of you that don't know, because we have some listeners that doesn't mean anything, that's blazing.
What's the pace of that? Explain it, because I'm not a big long distance
guy. So to go under 3 hours, that would be a 6:52 per mile for 26 miles. My PR is 6:43 per mile.
That's insane, bro.
For 26 miles.
That's insane.
If I did that for 1 mile, you would know about it every Monday I saw you. I would tell you to everybody. I'd be, hey, I did sub-7.
Mile.
1 mile.
Yeah, I would brag about winning 1 mile.
I'm not 21 anymore, bro.
Yeah.
I wasn't doing that then either, bro.
Neither was I.
Fair enough.
I didn't even start running until... I was 27, I just turned 40.
That's the other thing that is so fascinating to me. I was just talking to a buddy yesterday about this.
He had them fresh legs, I think. You know what I'm saying? I think it's kind of a bonus.
I meet a lot of runners. So I started, I ran competitively in school, stopped for a long time, and then got back into it. And a lot of the people I run into, no pun intended, didn't have that kind of story. We know another Roger. We know another one. He's an athlete, but he wasn't a runner.
Mm-hmm.
So it just fascinates me. Like, was it a, was it a health thing, or was it like a just something you thought, I need a barrier to break through. I need to do something.
Yeah. I mean, like a lot of people, I played sports in high school. And not very good, but it was something to do kind of. But after that, after this high school sports went away, then it just kind of fall into that, everyday life of laziness and not constantly working out and so I slowly put on weight, and then more and more, and bad eating habits, as you get older, really, hit you. So, I got to a point where I was really uncomfortable, and I didn't feel good. I didn't look good. So I decided, after my wife looked at me and said, hey, you got to do something here.
Yeah.
And like I said, I committed to doing it. And pretty quick, I lost 100 pounds. And that was strictly through diet and really walking, like not even running. I didn't even start running yet. It was just through measuring all my food, watching calorie intake, and going for a walk every day. And from that, I said I had that weight loss, and I wanted to find a way to keep it off. So I said, I'd like to start running. So I told my wife, I'd like to, buy like a treadmill or something, just kind of, be able to walk inside or just get, light jog, whatever. And so she said, all right, if we're going to do it, you better stick with it kind of thing. But even if we just, I think we spent like $40 and bought one off of like a, community Facebook group or whatever, and I just started running on that, and I started wondering if I can run for 10 minutes straight, and I did. I was able to run for 10 minutes at 5 miles per hour, whatever the slow setting is, and from there, I just constantly see if I can push it farther and farther.
That's my pace, all right? 5 miles behind
that. Nothing wrong with that.
That's my pace.
Big body James.
When I'm running, I'm usually about 7-8 miles per hour, but, something like that.
Yeah.
That's about fast I'm going to go.
Are you still in the Hokas? Are you still running?
So I just started back running more often. Remember, I had the knee issues for a little bit. You know what I'm saying? So now I'm back running more. I'm glad you asked that question, because I was going to ask him the same question. Like, what are your training shoes of choice? Like, what shoes do you prefer to wear?
It's a funny story. So when I first started running, I figured, you know, I'm very cheap. I went out to the outlet store and I bought, I think, some whatever cheap New Balances I could find that were like $40. And I ran with those. And, you know, I felt I did okay. I ran a marathon in them. But then, you know, the new 4% came out and all this. And again, my wife, my
what's the 4%?
Nike, okay. Alpha Fly Next Percents, where they changed the entire
shoe. What's a percent?
Yeah. So as far as running goes, these are the shoes that are carbon plate, have the tremendous toe drop, and yeah, once these came out, world records just started tumbling. They're called 4%. Okay. They're supposed to take 4% off your time.
Wow.
Yeah. So
I never knew what that meant. Yeah. I just got a pair the other day at the Nike outlet, and I'm a Hoka guy.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. I'm not throwing any shade at Hoka, but they're like walking in bricks. Like, they're heavy. I'm wearing them right now. They feel good walking.
They're great walking around.
And even like running, they're good. But those
4% is there were super light.
Is there a 2%?
No, that's it.
Well, whatever one. I guess that's what I got. Nike, and I ran in them the other day.
Fast.
Man, what?
Yeah.
Completely changed it for me.
So my wife bought me those shoes, and so we went to our local Fleet Feet, and we went there and we met a wonderful person named Crystal, and she said, yeah, you for what the amount you're running, what you're doing, we got to get you some good shoes. And so she got me some good Nikes, some Turbos.
How much did you weigh, like, when you, like, at that time, when you were running, like, you transitioned from, like, the New Balances walking shoes
so
to...
Before I lost the weight, I was, you know, pushing 250.
Okay.
And I got down under 150.
Wow.
Yeah. So I put a couple pounds on since, but that's with, you know, muscle and stuff like that. Because I think I got all the way down, and then I kind of had to
build some muscle up.
Yeah, exactly.
What are you at now?
Probably 155, somewhere in there.
I haven't seen, let me tell you something. I've been 200 pounds since I was 10 years old.
Yeah, but you got like 50 pounds of muscle in your arms.
I mean, jeez, bro. That's so unfair, man. Like, I was 200 pounds at 10, bro. And this man is 155. I would cut off this arm. I could be 155.
No, bro. You can be close, but you won't be. The only time I see this man is when we start a run.
And then you don't see him to the end?
I don't see him anymore. And I'll see you at the end.
At the end, yeah.
He's already recovered.
He's already recovered. He's drinking his Gatorade.
My legs are cramping.
Yeah. Wow, man. That's pretty awesome. And thanks for sharing that information about the shoes as well, too, because I think a lot of our listeners,
there's nothing wrong with Hokas or Brooks. Nikes are very, like I said, if you have perfect form, and nothing, you know, no plantar fasciitis, Nikes are great, but there's the other shoe. I mean, if you have anything going on, the other shoes really are beneficial, and Nike doesn't provide a whole lot of support for that.
Yeah.
So I don't want to say only wear Nike, don't wear the other shoes, because there's a lot of good shoes out there for
support. Because I felt pretty good wearing the Hoka, especially because, you know, being a bigger guy, like, I'm walking around 240, 230s, you know what I'm saying? And so I think that those shoes were very supportive for me.
Yeah,
and like, absolutely. My joints felt good after a run.
Yeah.
So that's why I rock with the Hokas, you know.
And stay with them.
Yeah. Until I get down to 155.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying?
You at 155 will be like when old boy was in Captain America.
Oh, yeah.
Before he became Captain America. And they're like superimposed his face in that little body.
Man, bro.
That would be you.
Bro, I would, no cap. I would love to be 185, though.
Like, I would, too.
185, I think that'd be like my ideal college weight.
Isn't that a problem, though, that we kind of fixate on numbers?
Numbers.
I mean, healthy is healthy. If you feel good, if you feel good, you look good, then what's wrong with it?
That's good. I want
to carry less. I want to see what it feels like to carry less body weight.
Back mass. Yeah, because I'm quite sure your body feels...
Muscle or fat.
Or fat, yeah. But the only way you can do that is through just doing a ton of cardio, not lifting really that much. Because how often do you lift?
I do push-ups and pull-ups resistance stuff.
Yeah.
And then I'll do different type of strength training,
okay,
and planks and stuff like that, but I don't lift.
Because I think you still got to do some lifts, though. I think you still got to do like squats, Olympic lifts, or something like that, core stuff.
Yeah.
You still got to do something when you're running that much.
No,
No?
You don't need to lift any actual weight. You just body resistance.
Body resistance stuff is good.
Absolutely. Just building your core. I mean, any way you build your core is good. Build those goals.
Do you do sprints too as well? Because I know you do long distance, but do you do like sprints as well?
So a big part of getting faster is track workouts.
Okay.
So yeah, I do a lot of track workouts, and that's definitely good. Mixing up speeds is very important.
Yeah, I like the track workout. I like the ladders. I like to do ladder workouts. Mm-hmm.
Like the agility ladder?
No, like 100 meters, 200 meters, 300 meters, 400 meters, come back down.
On the track. Yeah, that's
it's been years.
That's one of my favorites.
I love that workout.
I love that one, and then 800s.
800s? Ooh.
Yeah, 800s is my.
That's your jam?
Yeah.
What are you doing them in?
So the goal is to do them in under 3 minutes per 800 with a minute in between.
A minute? What's a minute? A minute ain't nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
A minute ain't really no time to recover. Exactly. But that's cool, though. That's amazing, man.
I do that a few times in a training cycle before a marathon.
We getting all the tips and tricks, Tips and tricks to get you guys fast and get you running long distance.
We hitting the track after this?
No.
No.
We're probably doing something to decimate our lungs.
This is gonna be this is my last cigar of the week. Yeah. It has to be.
It has to be, bro. Because you leave what this weekend for training for Oregon.
Not this weekend.
This week.
Tomorrow.
When are you leaving?
Wednesday morning.
Okay. I was looking again at my mileage breakdowns, for the Hood to Coast.
Yeah.
It's about to be
nutso. Hood to Coast. I'm excited about you doing that, bro.
Excited too.
I think I wish I can go. I just got a lot of things going on right now.
What do you have going on?
We need a driver.
We need drivers. we need another black guy.
My mother needs a hip, and so until my mom gets her hip, then I'm staying.
All right,
close.
Bye. You win all arguments. Shout out to Mama Abrams.
Speedy recovery. Can't wait till you get back on your feet, Mom. But speaking of Hood to Coast,
have you seen
the Hood Olympics?
I've seen some of this ridiculousness on Instagram.
Yeah,
I didn't know it was we talked about the one. I didn't know there were more than
the Crate Challenge.
Is the
most popular thing going on now.
Yeah.
It looks easy. If I'm being honest, it looks like something you can do.
We can do this.
Yeah, but the ramifications of not doing it right is so terrible. Like, I've seen people like smash their whole body into crates, and it looks so bad. It looks so bad. And then I saw like bruises and stuff people have from the crates and things like that. So, I don't know. I've seen some people do it successfully. You know, taking their time and walking up.
The best way to do it is to do it on a pier.
So you fall in the water?
Yeah.
I think the people are falling straight down back onto the crates. I don't think
it doesn't even matter, bro. Yeah. It doesn't even matter. I saw somebody kick
the crates. Aren't going anywhere.
Yeah, I saw somebody kick the crate, and I was just like, man, that's just evil.
While somebody was on, another person kicked the crate?
That was just evil, man.
That person shouldn't be in your circle.
He should not. Mm-hmm. He shouldn't be nowhere around, man.
Should be anyone's circle.
Yeah, he should get beat up. But
I would imagine he did.
That's fighting. You know, fighting words. Those are fighting actions. You kick the crate while I'm walking on it, and it's that high up and it's dangerous, bro. Yeah, you want
to
fight.
Something similar to that happened to me when I was a kid. We used to use our bikes and jump ramps. We make ramps out of cardboard boxes and bricks, and put them on the sidewalk because we were kind of safe, and. We jump them. Well, when it was my turn, this kid like hiked it up, and I didn't realize he did. So I went flying, scraped all this pink. My shoulder was pink.
Yeah. So when I recover, little Timmy, I'm coming back.
But take that brick you used in the ramp.
And then I'm beat you up. You know what I'm saying? As soon as I recover. But another event in the Hood Olympics that's come out, I just saw this today, is crackhead tosses. Where people are taking actual crackheads and throwing them for a distance.
At what point in our society did we make this a thing, bro?
I kind of want to host a competition. You know, where
we are not recruiting.
Where we do a fresh and fit Hood Olympics.
Okay.
You know, Hood Olympics, right?
All right.
I think we don't have to call them crackheads. We can get some people that, you know.
We're going to throw people still.
People can do people tosses.
This has already happened before. It's called Jackass.
Yeah, but no, but let's okay. So look, so a part of the Hood Olympics that we would do definitely would be the crate challenge. That'd be one.
Okay.
We'd do a sandbag toss, so no one gets hurt. Sandbag toss.
Who's tossing sandbags in the hood, though?
Okay, but it represents.
Do we decorate them to look like a?
You can.
A stereotypical.
Yeah, you can. Okay. But we're gonna get canceled. So
that would cancel us, but the actual crackhead itself wouldn't get us.
No, because we would
arrested.
We would interview the crackhead and we would make sure that they are ready for this event. But never mind that. But
how did you prepare for this event?
My third event. Listen. My third event would be a shuttle run where you had to go each station, grab something, and come back. So you would be like a radio. A DVD player, a TV, and you had to run back and put it in the shopping cart. And once you got it in the shopping cart, you had to run 400 meters with the shopping cart, and whoever completes that race.
400 meters?
Yeah, 400 meters.
I'm thinking 40.
No, 400. 400, because.
Don't get distracted.
Okay. Well, then you lose. Okay? what you know what I'm saying? You lose. But I think if
Chris is like, I don't really know what this has to do.
But I'm just saying, these are just some good, I think, Hood Olympic events. Now, for...
Oh, I got it. Instead of the Goodwill Games? The Hood Wheel Games.
The Hood Wheel Games.
Hey.
I'm with it. I support it, man. I like that. I think we can host it. I think Run With The Winners should sponsor it. Run With The Winners sponsor and we'll be in there, bro.
We might have tabled that one.
Table. Yeah. Yeah, it's something to think about.
This might be exclusive to here. I don't know about that.
But I'm telling you, I bet you if we did like one in Cleveland, Detroit would pick it up. Then, you know, Missouri and places like that, St. Louis pick it up. And then we can do like
a national competition.
All right, so there's a particular Smash or Pass that's been on my mind lately because I've been seeing these a lot more, like advertised on Instagram, and I absolutely hate them.
Okay.
It's the...
Oh, I think I remember.
It's the two-in-one built-in compression shorts where the compression short, like... hangs lower than the shorts.
Right.
And it's supposed to be, you know, you only got to worry about one thing. How do you guys feel about those?
So I don't like the compression short ones. I kind of like the ones that are briefs when I'm for running. Like there's like briefs built into the shorts. I kind of like those.
I'm wearing those right now.
Oh, which is freak nasty. But I like those. I like those ones. It's only when the briefs are soft. You know what I'm saying? Like, cause I've had a pair where it was like mesh, like a mesh
like
brief.
Like swim shorts.
Like swim shorts.
Those are swim shorts, though.
Uncomfortable. I'm cool.
Because they're swim shorts.
I'm out.
Whatever. You wearing those day to day?
No, I'm saying I wore them like one day I was at a pool party and it was like all day. I was like, I got to take these damn swim trunks off
because
my stuff can't handle it. Yeah, like, yeah. I'm cool on it.
It's like the same thing they use to catch fish.
Yeah.
Or holding...
I'm good. So no, yeah. I'm out on that. But I think the compression shorts are cool. I think it's just hard to find the right fit. For me, it's hard to find the right fit. You know, I got bigger legs, so it's hard. Yeah. But what do you think?
Are we talking trade like running shorts, or are we talking about like
I'm gonna say
running shorts.
Shorts, absolutely. Like everything I have has some sort of whether not a tight compression, but I've got a couple that have like a sleeve that kind of comes down a little bit below the short.
Okay.
But then any of the other running shirts always have like a bikini type. Yeah. I don't wear anything else.
Yeah, that. I'm cool with that. I like the bikini joint. I haven't successfully found a compression because either they're, because sometimes I get them and they're like too small in the waist, but they fit the quads cool. But then, so I don't know.
I got smaller legs. We don't have that big of an issue. Yeah. And I only wear them when it's maybe a little bit cooler out. Like maybe it's hot out. I don't want.
Oh, you don't want nothing on. Yeah. You just want a free ball.
Shorter than better as far as.
Let me tell you, I decided to transition from shorts, like when I run. I'm just like straight the.
Tights?
Yeah, the tights.
Okay.
I just rock with those now.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're a freak.
But I don't care. Yeah. I don't care.
Yeah.
A lot of runners do it.
I've done that. I've done that before, but
again, yeah, but still a lot slower then.
But I've done that before, and I remember feeling so violated when a woman said something to me.
What she say to you?
It was. I don't even want to repeat it, but I just felt disrespected.
You don't want to repeat it, but you're gonna bring it up.
I'm just saying. I felt disrespected by a woman while I was running and wearing just compression shorts. I thought it was disrespectful. I didn't like it. And so from that day on, I felt like, you know, as a man.
Did you blush a little bit?
No, I was more scared.
This woman scared you?
Yeah, she was scared. She was not sober. She's not sober.
Would she potentially be a contestant in our
Hood Olympics? She definitely would be
Games?
A contestant in our Hood Wheel Games. Okay. But, yeah, she was just like, yeah, I don't want to repeat what she said.
Okay, it's probably a good idea.
Yeah, I'm cool. But I'm just saying, like, that, so, like, do you wear like a long shirt or something over your stuff? Or do you not care?
Yeah,
like,
but I tend to stick with black though. Like,
black, okay.
Yeah, like I'm definitely not wearing gray. White. One day I had a pair of red ones and I'm like, because they were dirty. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, I could try these out. And then I put them on. I'm like, no, I can't try these out. It's got to be black.
Some freaky dude was in the gym the other day wearing like a gray pair of tights and a gray shirt, like working out.
Disrespectful,
like,
man.
I'm like, bro, like, come on, man.
For the triathlon, you wear a triathlon suit, which is like a onesie that kind of goes over. And mine, black, you know, like I said, it doesn't hide anything. but it's all black, you know, so you really can't see anything. But there were some people out there that they were showing everything.
Slanging their thing.
You got to have a lot of confidence.
This way I look at it. We all know it's there.
Yeah.
Okay? So if it shows, whatever. But you ain't got to flaunt it.
Right. But you know what? If you got to flaunt it, I guess some people don't care.
I guess, yeah.
But you got to flaunt it. But you know what? When I did powerlifting, we have to wear the singlet.
Oh, yeah. Singlet. Them joints are super thin.
Them joints are thin and they're tight. And I don't understand why powerlifters don't get in better shape, because those singlets are not flattering to your body. It's so not flattering.
Why does that help you? Like, why do you need to, like?
Well,
he's trying to limit all kind of. I would imagine to limit all type of potential restrictions.
No, they don't want any type of performance enhancement. Okay. So not even like compression shorts. You can't have any of that stuff on.
Okay.
Nothing. You can't have any underwear. No underwear. You gotta wear. And they check, bro.
Just want you to wear this full man blouse.
Yeah.
That's it.
This little singlet, and that's all you can wear before you take the stage. And you're taking the stage, everybody's watching.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but it's cool. The bodies you see, the body types you see at powerlifting events.
Terrible.
Some terrible, some good. But to me, I would try to be in better shape, because that singlet, I'm telling you, man, it's not flattering, man. It's not a flattering thing to wear. It's not cool. You know what I'm saying? I've seen some bad bodies in it.
Sure.
But if you're buff and you got it on, it looks good. You look like like one of those old like Greco-Roman wrestlers. You know what I'm saying? Like, as you look like.
Oh yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You look good in it, but.
Would you rather pick a fight with a Roman Greco? Is it Greco-Roman?
Greco-Roman.
Would you pick a fight with one of those guys or a UFC fighter? Yeah, but you had to pick a fight with one of them.
You might have a better chance with a UFC fighter. And the reason I say that is because they might not be wrestling based. A person who wrestles a lot
scares me.
He can tear you apart.
Yeah.
I mean, like, literally tear you apart. And then, too, they're the most conditioned athletes. Like, the most conditioned, like, out of all the fighters, wrestlers. Wrestlers condition way more than boxers, anybody. Mm. They condition more. And so, because they know leverage, they can knock you off your feet, get you on the ground. And once you're on your back, you don't know how to get up. At least if it's a fighter, they might strike with you and you might have a puncher's, everybody got a puncher's chance. But if you're with a wrestler, he's gonna put you on your back so fast, bro. So fast, and you're not gonna be able to get up and you can just pound your life out.
I don't wanna fight anybody, that's why I run so fast.
Yeah, I don't wanna fight anybody either, man.
The true motivation.
Yeah, exactly.
The true runner motivation.
I guarantee you might be able to pop, but I'll run longer and farther than you, I guarantee you.
One thing about fighting, though, like something that I learned, and it was so cool, is once I started fighting, I started fighting kind of early. I did MMA for a couple years. Okay. And I started fighting kind of early, like in my 20s or whatever. And I used to, you go to the club, you want to be tough, you know what I'm saying? You just always want to be hard just in case something pop off or something like that. You always felt like you had something to prove. So if someone did something wrong, stepped on your shoe, something like that, you might get into an altercation. But once I started fighting, like fighting and training to fight, I had no desire to fight. No desire to fight anybody because, one, we fought so much at practice, and like, it's like I had nothing to prove. I felt like I was just like, I'm like, oh, I have nothing to prove. And if something pop off, I know it built my confidence so much that I knew like if something happened, I could protect myself. So I didn't feel the need to prove myself. You feel what I'm saying? So
then it gives you perspective on the mentality when people have that mentality in a club.
Yeah.
They probably don't know how to defend themselves, and that's why they're on guard.
On guard, 24/7.
I mean, if you know you can hold your own, you ain't got to worry about anyone picking with you. Why be stressed? Why be looking over your shoulder? If someone steps on your shoes, hey, guess what? It might have been a mistake.
It's all good. Let it go.
Speaking of that, I'm at the movies last night. This is so random, but I'm going to share it anyways. I'm at the movies last night, and the theaters now, they don't want you sitting directly next to somebody unless you came with them. So I'm sitting there in the third or fourth row. Whole row is empty. Last showing of the night. Maybe 10 minutes left in the movie, 4 people walk in. All right, look, I don't care. Just shut up. Don't make a big fuss. You just showed up from wherever you were at. I don't know.
The other movie.
Right. They come in, right? One tries to sit right next to me. Mind you, I got my snacks there. Chris, cover your ears. A pizza, some peanut M&Ms. I didn't finish the pizza. There's a slice left. The guy picked it up, right? I said, yo, that's my pizza. He said, it's empty. I said, I got a slice in there. So this dude has the nerve to catch an attitude. So for the last 10 minutes of the movie, he goes and sits somewhere else. All I'm focused on is, if I gotta fight this dude, am I gonna get a chance to enjoy this last slice? Nothing happened, but that's all that was on my mind. Yeah. The rest of the
nonviolent, brother, brother Chad. I'm telling you, hey, that's a pretty good Martin Luther King impersonation, by the way.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm not gonna do one. Because I wanted to at first, and then I'm like, it's probably not a good idea. It's a bad idea.
Bad idea, man. So we like to play this game called Explain That Pick.
Okay.
All right, Explain That Pick. So
we had TMZ follow you for the last month. Yeah.
So we're going to start with this one. Take a look up on the screen. Tell us what you think.
Oh yeah.
Now I need you to explain that pick.
Alright. Maybe give it a little context.
The one in the tank top there is very motivated to work hard, and one in the it looks like Hagrid over there really enjoyed everything about life other than athletics. Yeah, that's the difference between about 100 pounds there. Yeah.
Now the thing that trips me out about people on these weight loss journeys, like you say you lost over 100 pounds, right?
Yeah.
So like you look older on the right than you do on the left. Like you you lost weight, yeah, and you lost years of your life.
You don't look like the same person.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's I love the comparison photo because one, it reminds you of where you were, but then it also kind of shows like, the work that did go in. Like I said, it was, the one is no discipline, doing whatever you want, whenever you want, and the other one is, having a goal and working towards it and sacrifice. And
And I also think about this too, I think it's good to reflect on some of your victories. Like this is a victory for you, right? Because sometimes we have these tasks, we got these goals, and they look so daunting. It's like so crazy, like I'm so nervous or scared about this. Sometimes you have to reflect and be like, yo, I did do this before. I did accomplish this one crazy thing before. So that gives me kind of like fuel to accomplish something else. So like that's good,
yeah,
that you like
I agree 100%. I always have, goals ahead. Yeah. Whether it's, you know, working at this triathlon and like I said, doing an Olympic next month, or in October running the Boston Marathon and doing all that, there's always a goal that I have coming forward. But if you don't step back and look at what you've accomplished, and then what would you do it all for? Like, if you don't look back and enjoy a little bit, then you're just a robot.
Do you have to qualify for the Boston Marathon?
You do.
Yeah, so you have to run a 3-hour mile, right, or something like that? I mean 3 hours.
So you have to run under three. It's all about age.
Age,
so,
okay.
So when I first qualified, I had to do it under 3:05.
Oh.
So now I'm a little bit older, it's 3:10. But... So hey, 5 minutes makes a big difference. Yeah, well, because the cutoff this like year, so you can qualify, but then actually get in, you have to get in under whatever their cutoff time is. Oh, this okay. year it was 7:47 under the qualifying time.
Ooh.
So yeah, so every minute counts. So getting that aging up is a big deal. You get a little buffer, but like I said, I'm 2:56:12 is my PR, so that I'm good.
So we got another pick here. It's similar to one before. But I think that something we're noticing, too, is that it's the pattern here is you're wearing less clothes, you know?
Yeah. Nobody wanted to see that before, I got to tell you.
Did losing weight give you, like, I mean, it sounds cliche. Did it give you, like, more confidence, like, to wear certain stuff and things like that?
Yeah. I didn't even wear, a tank top until, again, my wife convinced me, saying that, you know, you're going to be more comfortable, like wear a tank top, you look better. I'm like, I need to do some push-ups before I do that. So I worked on that a little bit before I felt really good about wearing a tank top.
But, shout out to your wife, man. I mean, like.
Yeah, no, she's definitely my driving force to be better every day. So,
you know, I'm not gay, but you have very nice legs, you know what I'm saying? And you have some good definition in your arms, bro. So, like, you look good in a tank top.
Not that there's anything wrong with you being gay, but what's the difference because of being I feel gay and gay?
But I'm not gay. I just kind of gay sometimes. I say some stuff like that make you feel uncomfortable.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
But like I know like me, like one, I'm strong in I'm confident in my sexuality. So I'll compliment another man. A lot of guys have problems with that. Like I compliment your physique and be like, you look good. You know what I'm saying? Like you have nice muscles, you have nice shoulders, delts. Chad has really nice legs too. But not definition, you know what I'm saying?
Like, I think somebody puts like work in, and they say, it's not when if I look at another person, I'm like, oh wow, it's not because I find them attractive or anything, right, it's like, wow, they put a lot of work in, like,
exactly.
So it's like I'm impressed with the work that they put in. I think the big difference there, too, I look way happier, don't I?
And yeah, you do.
One, the other one,
you do look happier, you look happier, I definitely see it, man. You got a different little glow about yourself, man. And that's good. And, you know, I think I didn't have like a big weight loss journey like that. Like I was a kid when I was overweight.
Okay.
And so that made me go so hard, like, because when I got to like middle school, high school, and started playing sports, it made me go so hard to try to lose weight. But I also had like a condition called gynecomastia, which means, so like when you gain weight when you're a little kid, you get man boobs. Okay. You know what I'm saying? So I had to like, and so I didn't get surgery until like I was in like my 20s. And then when I finally got rid of my man boobs and I was able to like take my shirt off, you know, for the first time, I felt so freaking good. You know what I'm saying?
Growing up with that and with kids,
kids are brutal, so bro. Brutal. I used to have to duct tape.
So brutal.
I used to duct tape my chest down when I was little, and my brother, he was like this. My brother, he has the best jeans in the world. He had a six pack since he was like 10. You know what I'm saying? So like he has the best jeans in the world. But he saw me doing that, like taping my chest down before I went to school, like with duct tape, and he was just like, "Bro, come on, man, you gotta stop doing it." Because like I would take the duct tape off, and like it would like peel my skin off. I'd be bleeding and stuff.
Well, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Because kids are, and I say kids, I'm including us, were so brutal. I played basketball in high school with a kid like that, and he would always wear double beaters.
Yeah.
And he would never be skins. You know, in high school, you're playing shirts and skins.
Never.
And I remember one, it was over winter break, and the coach was kind of a militant guy at the time. He was just, he's like, dude, take your shirt off. You're skin. He did, and like kind of.
Everybody teased him. Everybody made fun.
And the coach was like, dude, put your shirt back on.
Oh,
like, yeah. Like, man, that's just,
That and you see the reason why you had it on. So like I remember that feeling, bro. It was so bad. That's why when people are like, oh, you always take your shirt off all the time. I'm like, you damn right, Because I remember how I felt when I couldn't take my shirt off. I remember going to the pool and having to go to the pool in a t-shirt. That was so whack to me, you know what I'm saying? But I had to do it because I wouldn't feel comfortable because everybody would
call. You didn't have to do it, but I see why you chose.
Yeah, but I wouldn't feel comfortable, man. Yeah. Like, people would tease you so bad, so I'd be like, nah, I'm good. Did anyone, like, tease you or anything when you were overweight and you was a little bigger, or were your friends supportive?
No, I was never teased. Like I said, in high school, like I said, I wasn't overweight. That's all something I did to myself after, so.
I'm talking about as an adult. Was any of your friends talk trash to you, or did they, like, encourage you
more? No, my friends aren't that small either, so. I was never, like really, like, teased. I guess I didn't have to really deal with that.
That's good, man.
Personally uncomfortable.
Yeah. But that's cool that you still personally was like, yo, this ain't it.
Yeah.
For me, it was like, I'm tired of getting teased, tired of getting picked on, so let me make some changes, you know?
Yeah, everybody has their own drive. I mean, we talked about, you know, run with the winners, and it's amazing. Like I said, I don't know if you know how many different people in there have had weight loss journeys, but there's been the first month that I started going, and I started talking to people. And it was, I posted, you know, probably one of those pictures that were up there, and everybody, you know, came up to me like, oh, I had a similar guy. I was amazed how many different people came up to me and said that they also had a weight loss journey and started running. So it's in the running community, I think there's a lot more people than you realize that have really been battling through something and are on the other side of it.
Well, I got to say, I appreciate you being willing and open and share your story, because just for that very reason, people not only get encouraged by it, but then you might push someone or bring light to someone else's story.
Yeah, so people kudos. Do say it all the time. That, you know, so. And that's why I try to put everything out there and be honest about everything.
Yeah. And you might even encourage Chad to stop eating fast food.
I mean, we got a race in like 4 days. You eat pizza. Come on.
But he's like,
I'm on the Chad Johnson train now.
He's playing like me and Chad Johnson. Oh, we're gonna start a movement. Science, Chad versus science. Now, Chad.
Ocho versus science.
Now, Ocho versus science makes sense because he just has crazy genetics.
He does.
He has crazy genetics.
That's not a fair comparison.
Yeah.
You can't just take somebody that's a ridiculous anomaly. That's just completely different.
So it's him.
Else.
It's only him can do that.
Yeah. Are you saying I'm not an anomaly?
No, you're a very normal human being. When you eat bad, you can tell.
So mean, bro.
I'm not being mean. I'm being serious. So, but Ocho, like, I know people that know him personally. He really does eat McDonald's almost every day. He really does eat bad. Like, it's not his thing.
Yeah, you guys have a little nasty in here. He goes on that diet of Mountain Dew and Taco Bell.
Yeah.
If I did that, I don't know if I'd make it.
Yeah, so I think everybody's body, of course, is different. You know, everybody has different genetic things that can trigger them to be one way or another. For me, I try doing like the vegetarian thing, doing vegan. It doesn't work for me. Mm-hmm. I blow up. I blow up from that because I have to have a high protein, low minimum carb type diet. But you know what I'm saying? I have to have that because that works best for my body.
You got to find what works. Like I said, the thing about the weight loss, it's getting a healthy relationship with food.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have a healthy relationship with food when I was heavy. And when I lost the weight, I didn't have a healthy relationship. Just because I lost the weight doesn't mean that I was fixed. I was counting calories to a point to where I lost too much weight. And like I said, and that was a whole other thing of it. And that's why I said I'm closer to 155, 160 now. I got down to like 143.
Wow.
But I didn't feel healthy at 143. Mm. So finding a healthy relationship with food led to so much more happiness because I can have balance. I can eat, you know, things that aren't the best for me occasionally.
Yeah.
But if you know, 90-95% of the time I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, then that other 5-10% really doesn't matter.
I tell people all the time, a cheat meal doesn't count as a cheat meal if all your meals are bad.
Exactly.
If all your meals are bad, it's not a cheat meal.
Who's even saying cheat meal if they're eating like that?
But people will say, they say it like, yeah, I'm going to have a cheat meal. And the cheat meal, and I tell people, don't have a cheat day. Like, you can have a cheat meal, you can have a cheat snack, but don't have a cheat day. Like, your other meals got to be good. Your other stuff has to be consistent.
But when you say cheat meal, that means that you're doing a diet. Diets don't work. If you're just going to restrict something and take something away, then for how long? And then at a certain point, you're going to want it back, and then you're going to eat twice as much.
You can't have
my gosh.
Exactly. So for success, you need lifestyle changes. You need habits. you need, you know, to do things the right way all the time. That way, when you're not, it's no big deal. You're not panicking because you had a cheat day and now you need to recover from it.
I'm big on having like a what I call a healthy plate or whatever. Like, I think, like, you know, proteins, a healthy starch, healthy and some vegetables. Yeah. So I think that's, and maybe some healthy fats. I think that, like, that's the best route, like, to live a balanced life. You know what I'm saying? And fuel your body. Like, you don't have to just diet, but just fuel your body.
Yeah. And Matt Frazier, before, as he was getting ready to retire from CrossFit, he spoke on that.
Yeah.
On how he would eat to compete as opposed to just what he, you know, what he wanted each of the days. So whatever activity he was going to be doing that day, he ate for that. And he was working out and competing all the time.
Yeah. So that's, man. So, guys, that's our show. You know, it's been great, man. Thanks so much for coming through.
Thanks for having me,
man. No, you're great. You inspired me today, honestly. I think
go
I
for
could
a run.
Yeah.
Show up.
No.
To a run.
To a run? I'm down. When's the next run with the winners?
Well, we're going to Portland. So
when y'all come back,
weeks, yeah.
When y'all come back, I'll be at that one. On everything. I'm at that next run. Right. I'm at the next run. With some Hokas on. To support my big joints.
All types of runners, we support everybody.
Support my big joints, man. So where can people find you? All right. Thanks so much for joining us. You know, it's been a pleasure. Like I said, you've inspired me. I might come on a run with the winners. I'm definitely going to come and do that. So let's make that happen. Where can people find you at? Where can people hit you up?
2Run6 on Instagram.
Remember, guys, that's 2Run6. Such a dope name. You guys, make sure you guys support Chad and at Smoking Cyclist and at 2Run6. Guys, these guys are going to do the hood to coast. It's not some gangster stuff. It's actually a...
I thought it was. when I first heard about it, I was like, it's kind of... I don't know. This doesn't sound super
but
sensitive.
It's Mount Hood.
Mount Hood.
Yeah.
We run Mount from Hood. The top of Mount Hood to the Pacific Coast.
To the Pacific Coast. Boom.
199 miles.
Yeah, you guys are unbelievable, man. Crazy, I get mad kudos to you guys. Make sure you guys check out, if you guys are in Cleveland, make sure you guys go to Zanzibar Restaurant. I have my art there. You guys can scan it, order some prints. You can also, if you want to, buy the art, take it off the wall, take it home, but make sure you guys pay for it. All right? Use the QR code. But, man, it's been a great time, man. Really enjoyed you, bro. Thanks so much for coming.
Thanks for having me, guys.
It's coming. We'll see you guys soon. Peace.
Hey, bro. Folks, if you are anything like me, when you were in school, you probably stayed to yourself. Didn't like a lot of people giving you attention. I was kind of that guy. And I like to sit along the side of the room, corner of the classroom. And so this segment is going to be called Comments from the Corner. Now, against our better judgment, we are about to make a statement that has probably been long awaited. You see, we have some so-called fans of ours who like to leave these comments on our Instagram page and on our YouTube. Let me backtrack a little bit. There's another podcast out there, Fresh and Fit Miami. Shout out to Fresh and Fit Miami. They got a huge following. They got some really cool people on the show. They've been doing their thing for, I'm assuming, a long time, or at least longer than us. And kudos to them. Folks, we're not them. They're not us. We talk about different things. Our name is somewhat similar, but it's also different. You see, we have people that like to leave comments on our page like, we're phony, we're not the real thing. Get out of here. You're a loser. Guys, guess what? We don't really care about what you think. We don't. As a matter of fact, if we did, we probably wouldn't be doing this still. We enjoy what we do. We enjoy talking about what we talk about. Fitness, apparel, a little bit of nonsense, which is okay. We have some cool guests on our show. We like to give our guests exposure. They have good stories to share. But we're not them. And for a lot of you guys who like to say these things, you're being a little click lazy. What do I mean by that? If you took one extra click, you would realize we're not them. We have a lot of followers, probably because they think we're them. But let me tell you something.
They stick around.
They stick around. Let me tell you another thing. How many times have you watched TV, ended up on a show you had no intention on watching, and you end up watching that show for hours, Guess what, guys? It's the same thing. We've also heard this. You guys change your name, talk about the same stuff. No, we don't.
We don't.
And even if we did, does McDonald's and Burger King still serve both the same thing? Just a little different? Different. Folks, we love you guys. We appreciate those of you guys that have been what I call followers by happenstance. We've had people reach out to us and say, look, I was looking for the other page, came across you guys, and I like what you guys talk about. I'm going to stick around. Everybody is not that same way. And guess what? It's okay.
It's okay. Shout out to our fans
and everyone that supports us. I want to say this in closing. There may come a day that we do change our name, but that'll be on our terms when we decide to, and what we decide to do is really our call. For right now, we are Fresh and Fit. We have a very dope logo. I would say it's cooler than other logos of other podcasts, but that's just me. I'm biased. I'm all for everybody winning, being true to who they are, as we are, and try to be every day. So with that being said, for those of you guys that don't like us or want us to change our names, find a hobby.
Find some friends.
Buy a bike. Okay? I like to promote bicycles. Buy a bicycle. Go on a bike ride. Clear your mind. I don't know what it is. Nobody really cares about your opinion. And even in this moment right now, I'm going against my better judgment, but I thought I would do it just for the heck of it. So with that being said, this is Comments from the Corner out.